Let us pray in preparation for the reading and preaching of God's word. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our first gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, found on page 4 of the New Testament section of the Bible in the pews. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Our second gospel reading is from John chapter 15, verses 18 through 27 on page 110. Jesus said, "If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own, because you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, 'Servants are not greater than their master.' If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. It was to fulfill the word that it is written in their law, 'They hated me without a cause.' When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning." This is the end of the gospel reading. Today, may our lives reflect the truth of God's word to us.
Ooh. while I have breath to pray. I'll hasten to his throne. 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 Let us go to God in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Blessed be. We know what it means to be blessed. To be blessed is to have family and friends, to be able to work and to play, to live where we want. It means good health and wellness. It means having the resources to do what we need for ourselves and for our families, and sometimes to do just those things we want with our money. It means to be loved and to love someone else, to have the use of our faculties and all of our senses, to enjoy creation and to be happy, to live a satisfied life. Yes, we know what it means to be blessed, and we are a blessed people. But what does God in Jesus Christ do when our backs are against the wall? What does God do when God hears the cries of God's people suffering, mistreated, talked about hatefully on Jesus' account? What of those whose backs have been broken by the weight of this world, by living in constant oppression and violence, such as Darfuri women and children who endanger themselves just to find wood to cook? Howard Thurman, an African-American theologian, writer, and mystic, asked the question, what does Jesus do when our backs are against the wall? Every day of his life, I suggest that Jesus rushes to bless us. Jesus broadens what we in our own human limitations define as blessings. Just prior to the Beatitudes, the writer of Matthew remarked that Jesus began his ministry speaking to great crowds of people, many of whom brought the sick and afflicted to him for healing. It makes me think that though Jesus gives value to all of us, whatever your station in life, the Beatitudes, though, are particularly for those who know what suffering is. Jesus blesses us in this place, and I contend that this Beatitude in particular offers three perspectives for us to consider. For no matter where you are in life, you can find yourself blessed. Firstly, blessed are you when you are talked about. Now, you may think I'm a little loopy, and I might be. I've been up since 4 this morning. But I'm telling you, it's the truth. Somewhere in the maturity of spirit that comes from suffering and oppression is the knowledge that your pain brings you closer to Jesus. The Beatitudes are not edicts or rules to contrive circumstances so that we can fit into the blessing. No. Sometimes folks are talking about us because we have done something worth hating. Can I get an amen? Amen. Everything we do is not right. Nor are we to believe that life is supposed to be without adversity. For as my grandmother says, if you ain't being talked about, then you're probably doing something wrong. As a matter of fact, a common theme that shows up in African American sacred music is this: I've been lied on, I've been cheated, I've been talked about and mistreated. I've been buked and I've been scorned. Oh Lord, I've been so wrong, but long as I got Jesus, I don't need nobody else. In our authentic suffering, for the sake of righteousness, is a blessed place. If we are being talked about for righteousness' sake, then we've done something right. Those who I call haters may not even know that they're participating in your blessing, but they are helping to usher you towards the good things that God has for you. We know of the fruit of the Spirit, but perhaps the fruit of doing what is right is being hated and being talked about on Jesus' account. Rejoice when this happens, for this is your sign that you are being set up for your blessing. Secondly, blessed are you when you know you have people who hate you. Sometimes it's a great blessing just to know who they are. As an African American woman who grew up in Columbus, Georgia, the Deep South, I know oppression. And so my life is always on the alert to discern the heart of people. Down south, and I've found some places here in Seattle, I'm glad I know who doesn't like me. I don't go into stores that fly Confederate flags. Amen. And I found out that there are some boutiques in West Seattle that I can't go into. I found out also that Ballard used to be a sundown town, which meant people that looked like me needed to get out of there by 6 p.m. It's an upside-down blessing to know from whence your source of pain comes, for it gives us the ability not to vilify those who persecute us, but to pray for them and to believe that God can impact and transform their lives as well. Martin Luther King was stabbed on a Saturday afternoon in 1958. He was in a Harlem department store signing copies of his book, Stride Toward Freedom, which was about the Montgomery bus boycott. While he was sitting there, a woman came up to him, a black woman, and he heard her say, "Are you Martin Luther King?" He was looking down writing while she asked him this, and he, without looking up, said, "Yes." The next minute, he felt something sharp enter his chest. Before he knew it, he had been stabbed by a letter opener. He was rushed to the hospital, and he lay there for hours with this letter opener sticking out of his chest. Days later, he spoke with the doctor who removed the letter opener, and he learned that there was a delay for surgery because the razor tip of the letter opener was touching his aorta, and his whole chest had to be open to get it out. The doctor said, "You know, Martin, if you had sneezed while you were waiting, your aorta would have been punctured and you would have drowned in your own blood." It came out in the newspapers the next morning that if he had sneezed, he would have died. About 4 days later, after the operation, he was in a wheelchair and he was receiving all sorts of letters because by now he was famous. One letter came from a young woman who was a student at White Plains High School. It simply said, "Dear Dr. King, I am a ninth grade student at the White Plains High School." She said, "While it should not matter, I would like to mention that I am a white girl. I read in the paper of your misfortune and of your suffering, and I read that if you had sneezed, you would have died. And I'm simply writing you to say that I'm so happy you didn't sneeze." Martin says of himself, "I demonstrated unusual calm during the recent attempt on my life, and it certainly was not due to any extraordinary powers that I possess. Rather, it was due to the power of God that is working in me. Throughout this struggle for racial justice, I have constantly asked God to remove the bitterness from my heart and to give me the strength and courage to face any disaster that came my way. None of these attacks came as a total surprise to me because I counted the cost early in my struggle. The believer in nonviolence is the person who is willing, who willingly allows him or herself to be the victim of violence, but will never inflict violence on another. He lives by the conviction that through his or her suffering and cross-bearing, the social situation may be redeemed. So know, people of God, that you are blessed when you know who hates you, and you have them to thank for pushing you into your blessing. Thirdly, blessed are you who understands that suffering places you with Jesus. It puts you on the right side. Jesus shared these Beatitudes, and Jesus was not talking as someone who didn't know suffering. Just as we prefer to talk to a therapist about our children that has children, we can be assured that Jesus knows our struggle. See, Jesus was fully human and fully divine. Therefore, you can believe that every time you hurt, Jesus feels and knows your struggles. The Isaiah text says, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Jesus is not this Hollywoodized, deluded, mystic superhero that we often prefer him to be. But Jesus is the ultimate manifestation of suffering. We see this as Jesus lent his power and reputation for the least and the last, and we see this on the cross. The Johannine Gospel reminds us that if the world hates you, be aware that it hated me first. Somehow, people of God, God is inviting us into wholeness. God in Jesus Christ wants us to be liberated and free to live in the fullness of God. How many of us cause ourselves eternal grief for things outside of our own control? We internalize it and it turns to anger and doubt, fear and anxiety. Yet if we allow the power of this beatitude to work, if we allow the nonsensical beatitude to make sense in our lives, if we believe that it is not our duty nor our obligation to be liked by everyone, but in order to be eternally absolved from suffering, then Jesus offers us the ability to transform ourselves. Ultimately, the Beatitudes are the preacher's friend, for it is the good news. These Beatitudes are the good news. Though you're going through, there is something good that will happen to you. No one wants pain or sorrow. We're not sadistic. But Jesus says that since you're going through this thing anyway, know that you're not struggling in vain. You are blessed. My ancestors knew this. Your ancestors knew this. That's why you're here. They knew that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Even if you feel that you don't quite fit the bill, you don't feel persecuted, you don't feel that you're suffering, God still honors you for standing in the gap for those who are suffering or oppressed. Pastor Dale said that persecution may not necessarily be ours, which is true. But in the final analysis, no matter what our position in life, we are bound together in our humanness and our capacity to be disappointed, to be sad, frustrated by evil, ostracized, hated for no apparent reason. It may not look like it, and it sure may not feel like it, but you are blessed. Child of God, I declare you are. Blessed are you who are hated for characteristics that were accidents of birth, such as your color or your gender, your almond-shaped eyes, or the fact that English is your second language. For one day, all of humanity will relish the diversity just as God does. Blessed are you who are HIV positive or suffer with AIDS, for one day you will be treated as human, wholly accepted, without judgment. Blessed are you who are abused physically, emotionally, mentally, for yours is freedom from fear and you will be liberated from violence. Blessed are you if you are gay or lesbian, transgendered or bisexual, for you are our unique opportunity for inclusion and for acceptance, and you will no longer be vilified. Blessed are you who are elderly, who struggle to deal with the changes in your bodies and in your lifestyle, for you will have the help you need. Blessed are you if you're ostracized due to physical or mental disability or challenging circumstances, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who never felt good enough. You are always sure you are talked about behind closed doors. You are picked on or bullied, for you shall know your greatness. Blessed are the privileged who give over their status for the behalf of the poor and the oppressed, for yours is the kingdom. God in Jesus Christ is still writing beatitudes in the lives of God's children, still offering good news to the masses. Jesus calls us to believe that there are blessings that may not look like blessings, yet they are the defining moments in our lives if we but let them. Will you trust Jesus to bless you? Even if your back is against the wall, when circumstances appear dreary, you will be blessed. Trust in Jesus who will not leave you, and you will never be the same. Blessed be. Let us pray. God of mercy, we thank you that you have descended upon us today. Thank you for breaking open our hearts and for teaching us a new way to think of blessings. God, when we leave this place, help for us to retain something from the sermon, from the music, from worship today, so that we can become better people. Amen.